This is the Beer of the Day podcast.
From Beer of the Day World Headquarters in Elk Grove, California. This is the Beer of the Day podcast. Tonight's episode is entitled, Will You Beer My Valentine? And we do have a Valentine's beer to try tonight, as well as a whole mess of other beers from all around the country, including a sourdough saison, a couple of IPAs, a big brown ale, a gin barrel aged, a Game of Thrones beer, and an imperial stout. Pretty much every style there is on the planet. Plus, we'll be talking with Jeff Miller on the telephone. I'm Dallas Helliker. Joining me tonight, Britton and Joel Miner. Hi, guys.
Hey, what's going on?
Greetings.
What's new?
I don't know. I'm looking forward to these seven different states being represented in the beers today.
Man, you've got one of everything here. I like it.
One of everything and spread it all across the different states. So let's start with the first one. This is from Boise, Idaho. Woodland Empire Ale Craft is the name of the brewery. This is called the Boule Sourdough Saison Boule.
Boule.
It must be French.
Pouring incredibly thick head, like more than half the glass is full of head, and I don't think it's due to a pour. It's just really crazy head.
Yeah, normally the first pour is always the most head, but every single one I've been doing is getting quite a bit.
So this beer is quite cloudy. It is exactly what I would expect if it's a sourdough saison. It's this very light straw color, kind of a creamy color. You can't really see through the beer except for a slight shadow, and there's streams of little tiny bubbles flowing upward, carbonation.
Super fine and like thousands of nucleation points. It looks crazy.
It's like a golden cream color.
And normally you don't get a beer this light that you can't really see at least your fingers through, but all you can see is just, like you said, the shadows through it.
Now, the aroma is a little bit funky. It tastes like uncooked sourdough bread, like sourdough yeast. A little bit of horse blanket going on in there.
So I'm surprised for how much head it has and how bubbly it is. It doesn't lace at all, like zero.
Now, after a minute or so since we poured it, about half the head has dissipated down, but I still got three solid fingers. Very thick.
So this is like, it has a very good sour taste to it. It's got tons of good carbonation that kind of like pops into your mouth, kind of like you're biting into like a sour grape. But it doesn't have the sweetness, but it basically really like opens up your palate to all the flavors that are in there. But you do get that yeast and a little bit of that pear. And mostly I'm getting a sour grape or even like a cherry that's not completely ripe.
I am getting, this is very unoriginal, but I am getting sourdough. Like, it is spot on. It's funky. Like Joel said, it's kind of like tart. It's really opening up your palate, and it's kind of crisp, actually, but it's pretty sour to begin with.
It is a little sour. Before I get to the taste, I need to mention the lacing on this beer is interesting. It basically has no lacing. It's like you had rubbed butter along the inside of the glass so that it actually slides down and leaves it the glass completely clear after it.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I've never seen a beer not lace at least a little bit.
The other thing that's interesting about this is I am getting that sourdough flavor, but if for some way you could make a grape that tasted like sourdough bread, that's what it would be like, because it doesn't have the bready, buttery, like sweetness that you get from like a bread or a starch.
Yeah, and you say a green grape, but it also becomes a little bit like white wine.
Very much so.
And it's a little bit dry, And like maybe they have those sparkling wines that are infused with some type of fruit. And that kind of reminds me of that a little bit.
I was thinking like a dry Chardonnay when I smelled it. But definitely on the aftertaste too.
Yeah, this would be a great summer beer out like on the deck, just like enjoying it, or even fall.
Yeah, quite good.
I'm glad we sampled this one.
Definitely. Well, Jeff could not join us tonight, but I thought we'd give him a call during the interesting beers we had this week section, because last week in somewhere in LA, they had a tasting of the Melvin Brewery, which we were kind of a fan of lately, and they had a tasting in in LA. So let's give Jeff a call here.
Hello.
Hey, Jeff. Beer of the Day podcast calling.
How's it going?
It's going well.
Hey, hello, Jeffrey.
How are you?
Quite good. We just had a sourdough saison from Woodland Empire in Boise.
It tasted like sourdough.
Interesting.
Like sourdough yeast, a little bit of a grape and lemon type of characteristic to it. Pretty good. But we thought we'd call you and see if you'd had any interesting beers this week that you wanted to mention.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, sorry I can't be on the show tonight. I wish I could be there, but I actually had a ton of really great beers lately that I wanted to tell you guys about. So first, Melvin Brewing. I think most of us have had a Melvin beer, maybe one or two in the last 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a really, really cool event last weekend. Really like a genius marketing idea by Melvin Brewing. I mean, they're this small brewery in Wyoming, and they did this one-day tap takeover at all these breweries around the country. I don't know how many, but it was a bunch of, you know, selected breweries that they determined could have their beer. It's called 2x4 Day. So it was last Saturday, February 4th. I think they even did a couple international locations too. So they did this tap takeover at all these breweries on the same day. Maybe some of our listeners were at one of those lucky breweries, and I was able to try 9 beers from Melvin, which was really cool. This is a great brewery. Like I said, we've had their beers, but to try 9 beers from Melvin all on tap was pretty amazing.
Yeah, we.
I'll tell you about a couple of them.
All right.
So one was Hubert, which is a pale ale, probably one of the best pale ales I've ever had in my life. They had another one called Citradamus, which is a really nice double IPA. Of course, 2x4, which is their probably best known double IPA. I think it was probably better out of the can, but having it on tap was really good too. I mean, it's still an excellent beer. And they even had a 13% imperial stout. That was called Ruckus. You would have liked it, Britton. It was excellent quality, great flavor. So those were like the 4 beers that probably stood out of the 9 that I had.
So did they have anyone for Melvin there, or they just sent these out to different breweries?
They did at this location. So one of the co-founders of Melvin was there. Oh, I didn't even mention it was at Beechwood Brewery in Long Beach, which is pretty close to where I live. And so one of the co-founders was there. I'm guessing some people from Melvin went to some of the locations, but probably not all of them. But one of the co-founders was at Beechwood in Long Beach. And it was, you know, the whole Beechwood staff, they all had Melvin t-shirts on, and, you know, it was very crowded because I think a lot of people were there to try the Melvin beers. But it was just sort of a cool one-day tap takeover of all these Melvin beers.
That's what I love about the brewing community. It's kind of like you don't see that in the restaurants as much, where like a chef comes into town and says, hey, I'm going to bring all my dishes, and the other chef is just going to sit on the side while I do all the pouring and all the cooking. And it just doesn't make sense, but somehow it works in the brewing community.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, this was I think, a really great marketing play by Melvin. I mean, because they're such a small brewery, they probably don't have very wide distribution. I mean, Joel, you were able to get their beer in Seattle, like I was. But to do this sort of, the coordination that it probably took to have this one-day tap takeover across the whole country at all these breweries, I mean, that really, I think, got the word out about Melvin if people didn't know about it already.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the beer enthusiasts, like, you know, a lot of the people who are brewers and breweries, the guys who work there or trying to market their own product, they're familiar with what the good beers are across the country. So I think, you know, Melvin did a good job of not only creating a good beer, but getting little samples out to everybody. So people say, hey, have you heard of Melvin? Yeah, it's great. Well, then it's pretty easy to have a tap takeover when you're creating such quality beer.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was great. You know, they had a few other beers that were just pretty good, but I just think the quality with all these Melvin beers were really nice. We had Killer Bees in the past.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't, you guys had that. It was great. They didn't have that on tap, but it's like you can just tell when you drink that type of beer, the quality, regardless of what style of beer it is.
Yeah, certainly. And it's kind of weird that this, we never even had a beer from them for a long time. And then now all of a sudden this brewery out of Wyoming is kind of bursting on the scene.
Maybe we should go to Wyoming, get it from the source.
I actually looked it up on a map and it looks like a pretty cool place. It's not far from Yellowstone. I mean, might be worth a future beercation.
I'm down. Let's do it.
Well, I was going to tell you guys about another beer that I had. Like I said, I've had a lot of really good beers over the last week. I had one today from a brewery called Indie Brewing Company, which is from Boyle Heights, which is a suburb of Los Angeles. It's kind of between downtown LA and East LA. And I've seen their beers around. I haven't had one before today. They had a recent can release, and it's one of these hazy IPAs. And, you know, I swear every time I turn around, there's a new beer release happening somewhere, oftentimes with a hazy IPA, because that's sort of all the rage right now. But this one was excellent. It was, I'm sort of still uncertain on the style. Some tend to be a little too sweet or too tart or acidic. I like this one. It was just sort of the right amount of juicy, fruity flavors. You know, some mango, papaya, citrus that I think a lot of these have, but it also had some pear and peach flavors. I think you guys would like it. It didn't have really any malt, but I think that's sort of the norm with this style. But it was just a great beer. And I think just the beer scene around LA lately, the growth is sort of ridiculously out of control, but this was one of the new ones that just came out, and really superb. If you can find that Indie Brewing Company, it's called Worth the Squeeze.
Worth the Squeeze.
7% IPA. Yeah, 7% IPA. Really good.
Awesome. Well, sounds like there's a lot of good beer down in LA. What are you doing next weekend?
Well, you guys are coming to visit. So.
Heck yeah. Little road trip.
Little mini beercation.
Are you guys having a blind pig on the show tonight?
Yes, we are.
Well, be sure to bring some of those down because I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, I got my shopping list from you and your friends. It's in my, you know, just to let you know how much effort I put into making sure your beer stayed at 34 degrees. You'd be proud of me, Jeff.
Oh, I really appreciate it, Joel.
It never got.
But yeah, you guys are coming down to visit. Happy to have you down here. We'll check out some breweries, have some beer, whatever you guys want to do. But looking forward to next weekend.
Me too. I'm ready.
All right, Jeff. Well, we'll see you Friday about 1 o'clock, 1:30.
All right. You guys have fun on the show tonight. Hopefully there's some good beers for the rest of the show.
We hope so too. See you, Jeff.
All right.
Bye. Adios.
All right, let's get into the next beer. We're moving into the IPA section of the show. This is Love and the Death of Damnation.
The death of damnation of what?
I don't know, but it had the word love in it, and Valentine's Day is today when this show comes out. And so we have this beer, and then we have the Enjoy By 2/14/17 later on in the show.
So I try not to judge a beer just by opening it and smelling it And I haven't even stuck my nose in the glass, but right when I opened it, I was like, oh, I'm going to like this beer. It's got all of that really good hop and dank flavor that I like. Like that wet hop pine smell that I really enjoy from an IPA.
Yeah, so it's lighter than I thought it would be. It's kind of a dark straw color, very slightly hazy. Definitely not as bubbly as the last one that we were on, but very little head retention on mine. You guys still have, I think, a little bit more than I do.
Yeah, but less than a finger.
Yeah.
And then they're very small bubbles and not many of them, just maybe one little nucleation point carbonating upward.
Man, it smells really hoppy and not like a fruity hop, like a dank,
earthy.
So this is the type of beer that is not my jam, but it is your jam. I could tell that you guys like it. It is quite bitter right up front.
This is a hop bitter IBU bomb. I mean, this thing
is very bitter.
It actually might be more than I enjoy. I took a sip about 30 seconds ago and I'm like tasting it like I just took it.
Yeah, it lingers on for a while, which is that's what I dislike.
So the hoppiness, it is very prevalent. I'd say it's somewhere between piney and herbal, and quite a lot up front.
Mm-hmm.
The malt, it has kind of a very reserved malt backbone behind it, a little bit of like bready, maybe even like bready sourdough. Maybe that's just a leftover from the beer we just had, but a little bit in the background, but just a great hop flavor. It is bitter on the aftertaste, and the bitterness does linger for a long time. So I think you have to be kind of a true bitter IPA fan to enjoy this beer.
Yeah, and when I have this much bitterness in a beer, I like to add a little bit of like sweetness to it. This is not a sweet beer at all. It's very dry. It just gives me too much of a cotton mouth. But like Dallas said, it's not a bad tasting hop. It's just too dry and too bitter for me.
I think Joel makes a really good point, and that's I couldn't figure out what it was. But yeah, there's no sweetness to it at all. So there's nothing to really balance how bitter it is.
6.5% is low on the alcohol for an IPA, but it packs a lot of flavor in for being only 6.5%. So you taste it and it tastes like more of a 7.5 beer, and it really is not that strong. It's just strong in flavor.
And it looks like it has Jeff Bridges on the bottle. But it's just
dude.
It's just the white buffalo.
All right, well, then let's transition to our next IPA. This is one that Joel brought back from the brewery, what, today? Yesterday?
Yesterday. So it was bottled on February 2nd. I actually happened to be in Santa Rosa, and the place where I was working happened to be across the street from Russian River Brewing Company. And so, you know, they're famous for their Pliny the Elder. But when you go into the location and you talk to the locals there, a lot of them seem to like the Blind Pig IPA as much or not more than Pliny the Elder. So I'm really looking forward to trying this. I have not had it before. It does come in a lower ABV than Pliny the Elder does. I think Pliny's considered a double IPA. This comes in at 6.1%.
I've never had it either. I've heard a lot about it.
Joel has had it before at a Giants game. But he didn't know what he was having at the time.
Oh, sounds like a lot of our baseball games. Right off the bat, it looks a lot more carbonated than the Love in the Death of Damnation.
Now, this one is clear, very clear.
Clear as a bell.
Tons of clarity. You can see a couple little bubbles floating up. It is a golden color, but it's so golden and shiny that it looks like it's made of gold.
Yeah, I'm surprised how clear it is.
I think we're just used to seeing hazy ones. This is what they used to look like.
Yeah, you're right. Two fingers of foamy, frothy white head, great lacing sticking to the side of the glass.
Now, the first thing I noticed on the aroma, and maybe it's just because it was so unbalanced on the last beer, but it has a sweetness that I can smell. And so to me, this aroma is a lot more pleasant than the last one. It still smells hoppy, but it just seems like it's a little bit more of a floral hop with some sweetness.
Floral hop, and then you get, there's more of a malt presence on this, on the aroma here.
Yeah. Yes.
Little graham cracker, caramel malt.
Graham cracker. Man, it's right on.
Dallas, you're on point today. Ooh.
I take a sip, and it sends a flurry of little tiny bubbles floating up. And just the initial impression is it is so smooth. It's like too smooth. And I put these beers in the wrong order. I thought this one was, as I remembered it, had a little bit more of a kick to it. And so I was thinking we were going to be stepping up in intensity, when in reality we had the more bitter, more audacious beer first. And now we're settling into something that's more subtle.
Yeah, if you want a really enjoyable beer tasting experience, drink The Love and the Death of Damnation and then follow it with a Blind Pig IPA, because it makes it like taste like water, but not like a refreshing water, just because it's so smooth compared to the other one.
What I noticed about Blind Pig is that it seems to be more concentrated, where the other one lingered a lot more. This one is a little bit crisper on the finish. And the other thing that I notice is that it has kind of like the, what I'm sure everybody cringes when I say this, but like the burned rubber or diesel fuel, like concentrated hop bitterness.
This does?
Yes.
I disagree, but I know what you're talking about. Just back to what Dallas said when it comes to like a very smooth beer, I would even say that the hop flavoring on this is very smooth. It's floral. It's got a little bit of piney taste to it. And the flowers are like a little bit of lavender as well, but it's got like a sugary coating to it as it goes down that is just pleasant. The mouth feels amazing. It's got a creamy sugar feel to it.
You compare it to other pale ales. You compare it to Sierra Nevada. Sierra Nevada has kind of a more of a bite, a little bit maybe of a more pepper hop, and has a somewhat, it's a malt profile that takes some getting used to. And this one, maybe it's because I've had Pliny before and I think of it so highly and I'm used to that type of flavor. But for some reason, this fits my palate so well that I drink this beer and I can't imagine having a better pale ale than this. I can't imagine it. I can't name a better one. I can't. It's like perfect.
It is. And in, like I said, when I was in Russian River Brewery and, you know, you're in standing in line getting your beers, and we'll talk about that later. There is a lot of conversation that happens with the local guys who are saying like, oh, well, I'm not here for Pliny. I'm here for the Blind Pig, just because of how much more they enjoy it from compared to like what the big hoppy double IPAs are. This is a standard beer in Santa Rosa for people who want to taste a great pale ale.
Now, if I had my choice, if I was stuck on a desert island, I'd go with Pliny just because it's a little bit more. It's a double. It's a little hoppier, a little more bold, a little more to it. But if I had to pick a beer as dictator of the world that we would all drink for the rest of our lives, this is the beer.
Yeah, it's good. It's deep.
And now let's get into the beer news of the day. Well, the story this week is going to be the same story that that Jeff talked about when we talked to him on the phone, and that Joel will talk about in just a second. But the New York Times got a hold of this and ran it this week, and about the 11-hour lines for new beers around the country. And the article goes into a guy in New York that gets up at, basically drives down to the other half brewery in the middle of the night or the night before, sleeps in his car, gets up, brings his sleeping bag, and waits 11 hours to get 6 beers. And the article goes on and on for 2 pages about all these crazy stories of people standing in line 15 hours for 6 cans, you know, all over the country. They're just...
Well, and breweries are getting smart too. Like some of these like breweries, it's getting crazy about these lines where they'll actually stamp your hand at what time you arrived so you can't hold a spot for all your homies, because they don't want to create riots where like one guy in a college dorm, you know, holds spots for 50 of his friends and they all come in and take up all the front row spots. So they're even getting creative about who can get a beer based upon the timestamp on their hand.
Right.
And then other ones were they were just waiting and holding it out, holding off and not announcing it until like a couple hours beforehand to ensure that people weren't queuing up 12 hours ahead of time and camping out.
Right. Or even not announcing it at all. They just put it out and then people that happen to come in get it.
Or even health concerns where it's, you know, -5 degrees and they're concerned that they're releasing a beer and it's going to be too damn cold and people are going to get sick or get, you know, die from frostbite or something, you know?
Yeah, they were talking about in Oscar Blues in Longmont, Colorado, it was -5 degrees. There was 400 people outside from the night before, and it's crazy. They can only get 6 beers apiece, and it's just a
that's the that's the kind of exposure they don't want.
Ah! So you had an experience, Joel. You were in Santa Rosa. Yep. They were releasing Pliny the Younger.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I go to Santa Rosa and have lunch at Russian River Brewery, which has amazing food, and I was like, hey, let's go get some lunch. And so I talked to my coworkers, and they looked at me like, not going to happen this week. I was like, why not? They're like, because Pliny the Younger was released. I was like, we can go over there. So we go over there. It's seriously right across the street from the office I was working at this week, and it was a 4-hour wait. And like the first thing that comes to my mind is, I have a job. I have to work. I can't stand in line for 4 hours. And then I look around and I go, a lot of these people can just sit around and wait for beer for 4 hours. But it was interesting because I was talking to the locals and some of the guys I work with, and they go there all the time. And they're like, really? Like, we just don't go during this week because we have people who fly in from like New Zealand just to try this beer. And so we came back at 6 o'clock and it was a 2-hour wait and I still wasn't willing to wait. But luckily I was able to grab a bunch of bottles from the separate bottle line. So I grabbed a bunch of stuff for our friends. But 4 hours.
I wouldn't wait 4 hours. I wouldn't wait 2 hours. I don't know.
Yeah, that's too long. I mean, some of these guys make a whole day out of it. They pack an ice chest and, you know, they're drinking beer while they wait, and that's not that bad. But if you're just there and waiting for that long for a beer.
Yeah, you guys saw the weather yesterday. It was
insane. Rain.
It was a disaster. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Some breweries have tried to come up with different ways. Modern Times in San Diego pre-sells the cans online and then provides windows of for when they can come and pick it up. Main Beer Company and Hoof Hearted in Ohio are selling advance tickets to limit the number of crowds. So there's a lot of different ways people are doing this, but this Northeast style hazy IPA is the really crazy thing that everyone is waiting in line for. So it's a crazy trend, but I guess it's a good thing having popular craft beer, you know?
Well, I think like how often do we have great beers on this show? And luckily for us, we can just go to Tavor and get a bunch of different opportunities for great beers. And so I always think like, hey, it's not worth me standing in line for 4 hours when I've had so many different great beers. I know that there are other fish in the sea. Not talking about my wife. She's the only fish. But beers, there are plenty of beers in that sea.
Plenty of beers in the sea.
I hope they're cold.
Me too. Speaking of cold beer, let's do one more before the break. This is from Voodoo Brewing Company in Meadville, PA.
This is Winona's Big Brown Ale. I was looking forward to this one.
7.3%. Yeah, the big brown. So, you know, normally brown ales are like 6%, and I was going to put it, slate it into the top of the show. And then I saw it was a big brown ale, 7.3, a little more high octane.
This one pours more of like a light chestnut color, and it looks like it's actually fairly clear. It lets a lot of light through.
It does. It's an interesting color because it's a little bit of a really dark orange and light brown. I mean, it's lighter than the color of Coca-Cola. The head is cream colored, not light tan colored, but pretty light for the style of beer.
It smells a little bit like a Marzen would smell.
It smells great. It's nutty with malty caramel for sure. There's a sweetness there.
Yeah, I think Joel hit the Marzen characteristic where you get some of those German style malts, caramel malt. Brynn's eyes just lit up when she took a sip.
It's good.
Yeah, and you know, it says unfiltered on the bottle, but this, to me, for the only thing that shows that it would be like, you know, it's pretty clear. It doesn't show any dirtiness or any sediment in it at all.
No. Flavor-wise, I get quite a bit of caramel and brown sugar.
Yep.
There's a toasted, bready type of malt characteristic to it.
So if you wait, take a sip and drink it, and then if you wait an extra like 10 to 15 seconds and exhale, it's got this coffee thing going on. And you don't taste it when you're drinking it, but in the aftertaste, it's fantastic. And it's like a coffee candy, not like actual coffee.
And here's the funny thing is if you close your eyes and drink this beer, you would think that it is a dark colored beer, like something similar to a porter or a stout. You wouldn't think it's a brown ale. You would think that it's going to be like a toasted, malty chocolate looking beer.
Britton is absolutely right about the coffee candy aftertaste. It's about 15 seconds after, and then that kicks in. It's a little bit like coffee liqueur too, not a white Russian, but a Kahlua and cream type of flavor.
I find it really pleasant.
Yeah, and at 7.3%, not tasting the alcohol.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's very, very drinkable.
But it's not overly sweet, so it's not like they're masking anything really. It just seems pretty balanced.
Very balanced and not heavy. It maintains a lighter mouthfeel.
But it is bitter. It is have that bitterness, like almost like a dark chocolate bitterness to it.
I don't think it's bitter at all, but
I think the bitterness is like the coffee bitterness.
Yeah. It's almost more like an acidity than I would say a bitterness, but
yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, it's good.
That's a solid brown ale right there.
Yeah, it is. It's a big brown ale.
All right, well, that will close out the first half. When we come back, we have our Valentine's Day beer from Stone Enjoy By Series 2/14/17, the day this podcast comes out, plus three other beers to try of various styles. We'll be right back. This is the Beer of the Day podcast. All right, if you enjoy Beer of the Day and this podcast and you want to help us out, there's a couple ways you can do that. Joel mentioned Tavour earlier. If you go to Tavour, TAVOUR.beerTheDay.com, sign up. You can order many of the beers that we had on this podcast. The first one, Love and Damnation, we got from there. Wynonna's Big Brown, we got from there. One, two on the second half. All these beers are available on Tavour. You don't have to wait in line. You don't have to do nothing. They just ship them right to your house.
How convenient.
It's like Amazon for beer. So Tavour.beerTheDay.com, sign up. We get $10. Help us buy beer for future podcasts. You can also shop on Amazon through the Beer of the Day website. Just go to Amazon.beerTheDay.com, do your shopping. We get a little kickback from Amazon. And we're getting a check from Amazon every month. Helps us buy this podcast and equipment, pay for our web hosting, and pay for beer. Helps us too. Third way, tell a friend about it. We're always trying to spread the word about Beer of the Day and this podcast. And the only way we can do that is if you, the listener, tell your beer drinking friends. And many people don't know how to download a podcast. So show them how to get the app on their phone, subscribe, rate, review on iTunes, whatever. Spread the word. You'll help us out. That time of year,
so enjoyable right now.
Hey Joel, what are you doing later?
I'm going to pour you a beer.
That sounds excellent.
So that beer that we have for Valentine's Day is the Stone and Joy by 2/14/17, which is today, the day this podcast comes out. And this is also a strange brew, because it's a chocolate and coffee IPA.
I'm looking forward to just popping this cap.
This sounds like everything I don't want for Valentine's Day. It says it's flirtatiously fresh.
This is one you don't want to enjoy by yourself.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow. There's quite a little head there. Unfortunately.
So it's kind of a golden color. Before it gets really awkward, it's kind of golden. It doesn't really seem to have any carbonation. I don't
very little, see yeah.
anything going on. It has a head that laces actually a little bit, even though it's super thin.
So this is a weird one, because we've had a few beers like this, but an IPA usually is hop forward, and then usually they save the coffee and the chocolate for more of the porters and the stouts.
Yep.
So this is like a merging of styles. And
but if you blindfolded me and had me smell this beer, I would just say it's an IPA. Like, I don't pick up on any chocolate or coffee or anything.
Not a bit. Yeah. It's really heavy IPA. And I think that's because of how strong the hops usually are, from like bittering hops.
And I would say that it smells like it is a little bit higher in alcohol content too. Like, it smells a little bit boozy. Not very much, but a little bit.
We've had some very... So prior to this IPA, we had the Love and Death of Damnation, as well as the Blind Pig IPA. And this is just not in that same category. It's nothing that Love and Death of Damnation is, and it's nothing that Blind Pig is, and it's missing the mark on a lot of stuff, only because it's just like any standard IPA. I wouldn't say it's bad. It's just the other two bitter beers we've had today have been phenomenal.
I don't think it's anything like a standard IPA. I think that there's something really weird going on through the middle where I almost got like a seafood taste. It got watery and like fishy and then finished weird.
I'm not getting the fish, but I'm getting like charcoal filter. There's something very charcoal-y in the middle of this, and I'm looking for chocolate and coffee, but not getting much of that. I'm getting a weird IPA.
I do get a little bit of that. I left coffee in the pot, and it was on like the burner, and it turned to something else besides coffee. I'm getting a little bit of that, like that burned coffee taste, that where it's not even coffee anymore. It's just burnt glass or something.
Yeah. I could see like almost like a burned espresso or something.
Yeah.
But it's really subtle. So it's like, it's not overpowering at all. Like, it's actually really hard to pick out. The fishiness that I got on the first sip, I am not getting now, but I'm still getting this weird thing through the middle where it's like watery. And I don't get any chocolate at all.
I'm concerned I'm not going to be able to finish this before the next tasting, so I'm just trying to drink it as fast as I can. It's
it's really not that great. I would probably never buy this again.
No, as a matter of fact, this show, you're listening to this either on 2/14 or after, and it says enjoy by 2/14, which means you've missed the window, so just leave it on the shelf.
Right. Well, and the word enjoy should be taken out as well. You're just
not going to enjoy it.
By 2/14/17 is what it should be called. Not enjoy by, just by 2/14/17.
Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
Are we ready to move on to the next one?
Oh my God, this beer is terrible.
Let's move on.
And I'm going to pour it. I'm going to drain pour it. I'm going to do it.
All right.
Actually, I did not think that we were going to be repeat like anywhere. I wasn't trying to do the same thing we did last year because you don't want to do that. But it just worked, right? God, I wish Jeff was on for that.
All right, let's get into the next beer. Now, that one was kind of a interesting experiment. This next one is one I think will be a really good Valentine's Day gift for Britain, because this one is called Contemplating Waterloo. It is a Saison aged in gin barrels. Can you read that and make sure I'm remembering that correctly?
Yeah, it's a gin barrel aged Belgian style Saison bottle conditioned ale, and it is coming in at 9.1%.
I am a gin drinker, so this excites me because I like Belgians and I like gin.
And it's from Adalbert's Brewery in Austin, Texas. And you like Austin, Texas?
I do like Austin, Texas.
So I do have to ask you how long you've been holding on to this for.
Oh, not long. Maybe a month or two.
Yeah, which is interesting because it was bottled a year and 3 months ago, which really shouldn't make much of a difference on a barrel-aged Belgian. But it even says on the side of it, do not store sideways. Make sure you store it upright. Interesting.
Well, I did store it upright.
Probably because there's sediment.
This is one of those champagne-style tops here. Britain is looking at me with one eye.
I'm bracing for impact because that thing's pointed at me.
Whew. That was very anticlimactic. So this is interesting. This is one of the first beers I've poured in a long time that gives a little bit of a strawberry, like strawberry iced tea look to it.
It is darker than I thought it would be. It's kind of it's like Arnold Palmer almost, where it's hazy and kind of orange and kind of brown and kind of straw colored.
Yeah, Arnold Palmer. Good call.
Does anybody else think that it's almost like there's a band in the middle that's brown and then the top and the bottom are yellow? Because that's what mine looks like.
I think it's just the lighting.
Mine's pretty consistent. It is a cloudy,
very opaque,
dirty golden color.
Arnold Palmer. Britain nailed it. That's what it looks like. It looks like
an Arnold Palmer.
You mixed lemonade and iced tea together.
The head is incredibly thin. There's barely any on there.
And it barely laces. It does, but not very much.
But there's some carbonation. You can see some bubbles coming up from it.
Yeah, a little bit.
Now, it smells interesting. It doesn't smell like gin to me necessarily, which is kind of what I was expecting. It smells like kind of a spicy Belgian.
Yep, but very light. I wouldn't even call it a Belgian double type of aroma. It's more of a Belgian single.
Or like a Belgian Saison, which is what it is.
It kind of smells like smells like Allagash White to me.
Yeah, I bet it maybe has some of the similar Chambly yeast.
Joel's favorite. Joel loves Chambly yeast. He looks impressed.
So, this is very unique. And I use that word in a good way because I don't know if I've ever had a beer that's like this. When you have a ton of beers in a given year, like you're like, oh, I've had a beer similar to this, reminds me of this. This doesn't remind me of a lot.
No, it does not. This one gives you a burst of flavor and then it goes away. It like doesn't have a huge aftertaste. Like I get a lot of flavor up front and then
you get sweet caramel at the end. That's all you get, and you don't get a lot of it.
But not a lot. And it's abbreviated, and it the palate clears itself and makes room for the next sip.
I actually don't know if it really tastes like a beer. I'm trying to figure out what it tastes like, and I want to say that it tastes like if I put banana liqueur into a gin and tonic.
With a little bit of caramel macchiato. Like, it's...
You get coffee out of that?
Not the coffee, but just like the caramel is and the sweet and the cream taste to it is really, to me, it's really apparent. But it's also got a little bit of a floral, like...
elderberry.
Yeah, exactly.
The gin elderberry thing is there. There's a little lemon to it, like you had a lemon in your gin and tonic.
Yeah.
That abbreviated aftertaste.
Think about
with
all the
a little bit of the caramel malts coming through in the end. Kind of some similar characteristics to the first beer. Not as funky, but it definitely is a saison in its qualities.
Right. And I mean, I'm impressed at how many different flavors we've pulled out that are not similar. Like you'll get you'll get a porter that has very similar flavors, but the flavors we've described in this beer are very unique. And you never see all of those in that style of beer.
I feel like it does have a little bit of a boozy aftertaste. Like if you were to just not take a shot of gin, but if you were just to sip real quick, like a really small sip of just actual gin, there's a little bit of like that burn towards the end. And the other thing that I'm noticing is I think I wish it were a little bit more carbonated.
Yep, it is a little bit flat on the carbonation level. I get a little orange peel or something now.
Yes.
After a few sips, there's some orange characteristics to it. The three of us drink a lot of gin.
Yeah, we do.
So we're a little bit immune to gin aftertaste. And I do think there's some in there. Yeah. But it doesn't really affect the three of us that much.
I'm actually getting, the more I drink it, I feel like I understand what Joel's talking about when he said caramel macchiato. There's like a caramel quality to it. But I'm also getting like iced tea,
mm-hmm.
which is weird because I said it looked like an Arnold Palmer and you said lemon earlier, which I get. And I'm also getting like iced. This is very complex.
And iced tea is not carbonated. And so it kind of sits on your tongue a certain way. And there's a little bit of a dryness and a little bit of just like unsweetened iced tea has a particular kind of mouthfeel. And this shares some of those qualities.
So, yeah, this is very interesting.
Yeah, you can just taste the quality of this beer. If you had this beer and you popped it open with a group of friends and to try something different and try something a little unique, this would not disappoint.
Yeah, and if you popped this beer and you poured it and you tried to have people tell you what style of beer this is, I think a lot of people would have a hard time. I think they might be able to pick out like Belgian. I think a lot of people might say farmhouse ale. I think you would get some of that, but even for me, like even after I've read it, I'm still like kind of confused by it. It's a very complex beer.
It's like warming my throat too. The more I'm drinking it, I'm getting like it seems like a warmer almost and I think that's what I was talking about earlier with like, if you were to just take like a little sip of gin, it's got that warming sensation.
It does.
And every time I sip it, I get something different out of it.
Yeah, very unique beer, unlike anything I've ever had before. I really would like to see more beers aged in gin barrels.
Me too.
It's rare. We've had a few of them in the past. We had one from, I think, Breakside.
Portland, yeah.
At a beer festival a couple years ago, and we enjoyed that one. That may have been our favorite one of that day.
That one was fantastic. I remember being really
good.
And
this one is quite good as well. So... definitely worth seeking out, contemplating Waterloo. Do you think Napoleon did a little contemplating in the years after that?
I don't know.
Probably.
Incoming transmission.
You've got mail.
Comments this week. Last week, we did a show 2 weeks ago. It was a Porter show.
Best show ever.
Britton and Joel were here. Jeff was here in person. And it was a fun time. A fun time was had by all. D. Helliker posted, somehow we managed to say the word IPA 32 times on a show that did not feature a single IPA. Impressive, I think.
Because y'all need help.
Oh, Buckeye Nut. Wait a second. You did a greatest porter in the world episode and didn't call me for my participation? Sad face. Another great episode, and even better by the fact that you are sampling the best style of beer. Porter! The Dirty Old Man sounds impressive, and I'll have to look about scoring some of that. Being local in Ohio makes getting Hop and Frog quite easy, and their infusion, a coffee porter, is outstanding. Let me know if you need some bottles. I'd be happy to send them your way. Looking forward to another show in 2 weeks. P.S. Just came back from Cancun and had the 12th of Never by Lagunitas on a Southwest flight. I love getting good beer on Southwest. Here's to the next vacation and the next time on Southwest. We did a fair amount of bitching and moaning about Southwest and their crappy beer selection on this podcast over the last year. They now have a
decent selection.
They have a decent selection.
Yeah. So actually, J.H. Miller posted on 12th of Never from Lagunitas. Just had this on a Southwest flight. Pretty damn good beer for airline beer. So Jeff posted up that beer. It was the beer of the day 2 days ago. This comes out on the 14th. On the 12th, I'm having it. The 12th of Never be the beer of the day on the 12th. So if you missed that, go back and look for it. A couple days ago, the Patsy was the beer of the day. This is a stout. And JM562 says 4.5. As is on Nitro, this beer is delicious. And K Spain Home comment on the same beer. Really love the balance on this beer. I would highly recommend for anyone that likes a smooth stout with less coffee influence. That was the beer of the day today, February 10th, as we're recording this. We post the beer every day to social network on Instagram at Beer of the Day site. Razzie Casper commented on the Tioga Sequoia Sugar Pine Porter that we had last week.
Man, yeah, I really like that beer.
And they said, this is good, very good, Beer of the Day site. I live in the town this is brewed. So they enjoyed that one. And we had enjoyed a lot of those porters on the show last time we were on here. So follow us on Instagram at Beer of the Day site. Follow us on Twitter at Beer of the Day. And we're on Facebook, facebook.com/TheBeerOfTheDay. We like to hear your comments and read them on this program. So if you have any comments, just send them on the email to feedback@beerofthedaycom, or there's a comments section on the website below every single page. Beerofthedaycom. All right, let's get into the next beer. Now, it's only February, and we're not going to see another episode of Game of Thrones until probably August.
Tease.
Holy, I almost killed Khaleesi.
Joel almost took out the light and Khaleesi there. That's me, for those of you who don't know.
Oh, boy. So every once in a while, they come out with one of these Game of Thrones beers. We probably had four or five of them on this program so far. So this one here is quite cloudy. I can barely see through it. It had quite a bit of head to start out with, but it's dissipated down quite a bit pretty quickly.
It looks like it has a lot of carbonation, though.
Okay, I'm going to tell you what it smells like, and you guys are going to be like, yeah, that's what it smells like. Ready for it? Honey Nut Cheerios.
Belgian Honey Nut Cheerios.
Yeah. Belgian Honey Cheerios, yeah.
There is some Belgian yeast characteristics in there. Pretty mild, maybe a little bit of like cinnamon spice or something, but pretty reserved on the aroma.
We had that horchata beer, and it smells similar to that. Like when you mentioned the cinnamon, it like instantly came to the forefront of my mind.
Yeah, I don't get that much on the flavor, though.
No.
A little bit of cinnamon. It's kind of just a mild Belgian beer. A little bit of raisin, fig, just mild dark fruit.
like a very mild Belgian.
Yeah, and that's the only way you could describe it. If you could like have some sort of Pilsner that's also a Belgian, that's what it would be. It's got a little bit more sweetness than a Pilsner would, but it's very mild. And I will tell you that I really enjoy this beer just because of how drinkable it is. Sometimes you'll get a Belgian style beer where it's just like, it's just so overwhelming and so yeasty that you can't really enjoy it. This is something that you could just have a ton of and be happy you've had it.
It's very drinkable at 9%.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the thing that Dallas nailed. It's 9%. I mean, that is impressive for how drinkable this beer is.
It's got a little bit of a creaminess going on too, where it kind of reminded me a little bit, very fleeting, but it was there, of a banana now and later.
There's always a lot of banana characteristics in Belgian beers. And this does have some. I was getting more of the fig and raisin, but there is some banana in the aftertaste as well.
There's not much more than that. In what you guys described, a little bit of that banana, mostly fig, except for it's just, like I said, it's very light and enjoyable. It shocks me this is 9% ABV. If someone said to me, oh, this is 6 or 7%, I'd be like, yeah, that sounds about right. And it doesn't have much sweetness to it either for being 9%.
No, it doesn't seem to be very sweet.
I think of all the Game of Thrones beers I've had, this may be my favorite. Now, that's not saying a lot because I haven't really been a big fan of the Game of Thrones beers in general. But I think I like this better than Valar Morghulis, the last one we had.
Yeah.
Valar Dohaeris.
That's what this one is.
I know. You're always supposed to say that after somebody says Valar Morghulis.
Oh, okay.
Oh, the nerd comes out.
But better than the Three-Eyed Raven, better than the Iron Throne. Pretty good beer here.
But do you feel like when you have one of these beers, and maybe I'm just speaking for myself, you instantly judge it like, oh, it's a beer they mass produce for marketing. Do you think that? Do you always have that like in the back of your head, like this is not going to be that great?
Yeah, I do have that worry.
Yep.
That I'm just being taken advantage of, and I see one I haven't had before, and I have to buy it. But I just get it so I can play that music.
I think that with what Amagang's done with the Game of Thrones brand of beer is, for me, it's my favorite word that everybody started using. It's serviceable. It's a drinkable Belgian. But there are a lot of other Belgians I'd rather drink.
I completely agree.
Agree.
It's fine. It's a novelty. But
yeah, it's serviceable.
I'm one that thinks that Game of Thrones is the best TV show on television, but Game of Thrones beer is not the best beer on the market. So it comes up short when you're measuring up to that yardstick.
But you haven't been to Amagang, right?
No. Cooperstown.
I am actually... And that's the other thing. We've had a couple Amagang beers that weren't Game of Thrones that I thought were really good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it's a little bit disappointing that knowing the caliber of beer that they can produce is not being done here, like pretty consistently, I would say.
But they're probably like, well, we have this great beer. We can't make that a Game of Thrones beer. We got to make that Chocolate Indulgence, an Amagang beer. You know, then they have one that comes up. Pretty good. All right, let's slap a Three-Eyed Raven on that.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get into the last beer of the night. Any idea what the guess of the name of this beer is?
Britain.
We clawed, we chained our hearts in vain. We jumped, never asking why.
I think it's Miley.
Right, what's the name of the song?
I fell under your spell of love. No one could deny.
You know what it is? What is it?
I don't want to ruin it for everyone else.
Maybe this will help.
This beer is called from No Lee Brew House in Spokane, Washington. Wrecking Ball Imperial Stout 9.5%.
I was just waiting for you to drop the beat.
I split up the clip so I could drop it whenever I wanted. All right, Miley. Thank you.
So this one is interesting because I feel like I've seen this in some beers before, but I've never really noted it out loud. This one seems so viscous that it doesn't lace the glass with head. It actually, like, the beer itself sticks to the glass.
Yeah, but you can see through this. If you hold it up to the light, it's not as dark as, like, you would get in, like, a real dark stout or porter. It's got, like, a little bit of a brown hue to it. Looks like a burnt brown butter.
Yeah, we've had some stouts where no light at all gets through, and you actually do get some dark red highlights peeking through.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
It smells fantastic.
This smells like unfermented wort. I mean, those of you guys who know what that smells like, it is very like bready and sugary. You don't get a lot of like alcohol or hop smell to it at all. So I haven't tasted it yet, but I wonder if you're just going to get a lot of sugar out of this.
It smells like horse feed, and I'm saying that in the most complimentary way possible. Like, it smells so good.
You
like
really
malty,
do get the
oaty.
grains yeah. coming through the oatmeal even.
It's yeah, you're getting wort and grains.
But a lot of Imperial stouts smell like molasses, and you get a little bit, but it's not that much. And sometimes you get that barbecue sauce type thing. Don't get any of that here. I really like the aroma of this.
It almost smells like a grainy, oaty Coca-Cola. It kind of has like a cola smell to it.
So I have not tasted this yet. So my initial expectation is that it's going to be very, very sweet at 9.5%. So I'll give it a whirl.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah. It's a lot actually more bitter than I thought it would be.
And the carbonation, yeah, it's not as sweet as I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be almost syrupy. It's very carbonated. Like, I'm getting a lot of like...
I think it's flat.
I'm not getting much carbonation, but I am getting really burnt, yes, roasted, really dark malts.
Like burned malts, not dark.
Burned, smoky.
Yeah.
Really dark tones here. Not that sweet. You expect it to have like that brown sugar sweetness, and that's very reserved.
I'm definitely getting oatmeal in the flavor as well.
Getting a little bit of chocolate, very little.
Very
bit,
little.
But if it is chocolate, it's very dark chocolate.
I'm thinking that's where I'm getting the bitterness from too, is it seems like it's like that real dark bitter chocolate. The bittersweet chocolate, but without the sweet.
Yeah, you can buy like cocoa without like the, just like straight cocoa. That's what I taste. I don't taste any of the sweetness in it. None of the milky sweet chocolate taste. I will tell you, I don't like this beer.
I like it less than I thought I would based on the aroma.
The aroma is fantastic. It's just the beer is just a little too bitter, and it doesn't have a lot of complexity to it. It's just bitter chocolate.
I would agree with that.
Dark,
I think,
burnt malts.
I think that I would want it to be more carbonated to try and help deliver, I think, a little bit more of what flavor they were going for. Because the description on the bottle doesn't necessarily fly with what we're tasting.
What's the description on the bottle say?
It's an intense and delightful jet black stout. Chocolate and roasted barley malt dominate the aroma, which is true, except it didn't smell like chocolate, with sweet and fruity flavors to follow. I don't taste anything sweet, and I don't taste anything fruity.
Me neither. I'm going to take another sip.
So one of the things that ruined this for me is that Britton called it cola. So this tastes like a... And there is something that is psychological about when someone says something, it kind of sticks in your brain. This tastes like a burnt Dr. Pepper now to me.
I could see that.
And it's not even just the taste. It's also the consistency of it.
Yep.
It's like someone who left a Dr. Pepper in a boiling car and it kind of lost a little bit of its carbonation. That's kind of what this tastes like.
Now, I will say that this is the last beer of the night, obviously, and I think it's been sitting out for a long time. I also would have liked it a little bit colder. It's not that cold.
Dear, I don't want the listeners to think that it's not cold.
Stop calling me dear. You're embarrassing me.
Britton, I do. It's cold. This beer is cold.
Taste mine. Not very cold.
I know, but it has nothing to do with it. I mean, I just don't want people to think that the temperature,
it's pretty cold.
Yeah. So this is a stout. 9.5% is pretty hidden. It's not that alcoholic. You could drink this and I wouldn't have thought it was more than 8%. But you compare it to the show we did last time, which was all porters, but this doesn't compare to those. Mm-mm. And I mean, stout and porter, you're going to find a lot of similar characteristics between them. So this one falls a little short for me.
Me too.
Now, that being said, if you like the darker, roasted, smoky type of qualities in a beer, if you don't like sweetness, if you like a little more bitterness, a little more on the darker side of the stout, then this is the beer for you. Obviously, everyone has a different palate.
So one thing I noticed looking at the bottle is that it says it's 100 IBUs, and I can definitely see that. It is bitter for sure, and I think that that's my biggest complaint about it too, is that there's not a sweetness there to help balance that a little bit.
Right. I think if you like bitterness, then if you like bitter beers, and some people do, and that people like the high IBUs, this would be a beer for you. Similar to how Love and the Death of Damnation was a bitter IPA. So if you like a little bit of that, darker quality, a little more, bitterness, low sweetness, then, you know, that's something to consider.
Yeah. Maybe some of you IPA hopheads who don't necessarily like stouts that much, this might be one for you to try because it's a little bit on the bitter side that you might be used to.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's recap the beers we've had tonight and figure out what our favorite beer of the day is. Britton.
Alrighty, so we started off with the Boule Sourdough Saison from Woodland Empire Alecraft. Then we moved on to the Love and the Death of Damnation by Anchorage Brewing Company, followed by Blind Pig IPA by Russian River Brewing Company. Then we had Winona's Big Brown Ale from Voodoo Brewing. And then we had the Valentine's Stone Enjoy. Waterloo by Adalbert's Brewery came up next, and then we had Game of Thrones Valar Dohaeris by Brewery Omegang, and the last one of the night was Wrecking Ball Imperial Stout by No Lie Brewhouse. No Lee? No Lie.
No idea. We'll spin the wheel, see who goes first. Joel.
All right. So everybody hates it when I do this, but I'm going to give you the beer that if I was stuck on an island, this is the beer I want to be stuck with. I want to be stuck with Blind Pig IPA. However, my beer of the day is going to be Contemplating Waterloo. I think one of the reasons why is it insanely complex. I have not tasted that many unique flavors and descriptions in a beer in a long time. And at 9.1%, like, you're not going to have to drink a lot of it to have a phenomenal time. And I enjoyed every single sip and taste of that beer. And I loved just the pure enjoyment of describing the beer I enjoyed. So, yeah, I mean, the anything from the floral to the complexity, to the gin, to the juniper, all those tastes I enjoyed a lot. And so I'm going to go with my beer of the day is definitely Contemplating Waterloo by, was it Adalbert's Brewery in Austin, Texas.
So I agree completely with everything Joel said. Contemplating Waterloo was a fantastic beer. It was very unique. It was very complex. It would be a little bit hard to drink the whole bottle by myself, which... that's where I kind of get hung up a little bit. So I am actually going to go with Winona's Big Brown Ale. That beer was fantastic. It was super balanced. That coffee candy aftertaste was really pleasant. It was nutty. It was caramelly with some brown sugar. So that's my vote for beer of the day. Winona's Big Brown Ale from Voodoo Brewing Company.
It's always tough when you go third and there's three people and I could deadlock us or I could concur with somebody. And so I'll say I'm going to stick to what I said about the Blind Pig IPA being the beer that I would force on all of my
minions,
all of the people in my empire, you know, as the dictator of the world. But for this one night tonight, I'm going to go with the beer that most impressed and surprised me. Contemplating Waterloo expanded the mind. It was hard to get to wrap your mind around everything that was going on with the beer. There were so many different flavors, so many different complexities, and definitely one I would want to have again. So maybe not the one to drink every day of my life, but
yep.
One that I was very happy I had tonight.
Agreed. So I'm sorry, did you side with me or Britton? I'm just not sure.
Contemplating Waterloo is my beer of the day.
I win, sucker.
Dallas, ever the politician. He chose beer, not you.
Well, I mean, I would have picked Contemplating Waterloo, except for I will go with... I came in like a wrecking ball. Never hit so hard in love. Just kidding. Oh, Miley. Here, let's do a different Wrecking Ball song.
I like this one better.
All right, that's going to close out the show for tonight. We hope all of you have a happy and safe Valentine's Day, and hopefully you have plenty of beer to drink to get you through the evening, whether you have that special Valentine or not. Maybe even better if not. We will see you next time. Next weekend, Britton, Joel, and I are going down to L.A. to visit Jeff. Woo-hoo! We're going to tour some breweries. We're going to live it up and have a good old time down there in the City of Angels. So then the week after that, we'll do the podcast. And we will see you then with plenty of stories to tell. For Joel Miner, Britt Miner, I'm Dallas Elliker. We'll see you next time right here on the Beer of the Day podcast.
Third and four, looks into the nickel of San Francisco in the secondary. Hey, somebody has run out on the field. Some goofball in a hat and a red shirt. Now he takes off the shirt. He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. He's bare-chested, banging his chest. Now he runs the opposite way. He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. The 20, they're chasing him. They're not going to get him. Waving his arms, bare-chested. Somebody stop that man.
Here comes the blue coat.
Oh, they got him. They're coming from the left. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
Oh, that was the most exciting thing to happen tonight.